as Matt mentioned as well, today we are talking about the teaching ministry of Jesus. Each week throughout the series, we're going to look at a different aspect that Mark tells us about Jesus' life and ministry to demonstrate the different sides of Jesus and the different ways that we can approach our understanding of Jesus. And today we're talking about teaching. And I don't know about you, but for me, a good teacher is one that connects with the class. They connect on a personal level. And for me, one of the ways that you can connect the best is through the form of stories, which is why I love Jesus' teaching so much, because he does all these stories that we call parables, and he has all these different examples that are relevant to everyday life that he brings into the conversation. And to me, I have always engaged better with teachers when they would tell stories and they would engage you on a practical level. And I love stories, and whenever I'm teaching people how to preach, one of the things that we work on is storytelling and making sure you have good examples. And a lot of times, I remember like when I was first learning to preach, I thought that what you were supposed to do at the beginning of the sermon was you were supposed to tell the best possible story that you could to try and get everybody's attention. And so I would usually come up with something that was just wild and outlandish. One of my favorites that I used to tell a good bit, and some of you might have heard me tell this one before, is about this time when I was on a cruise and we got off the boat in Cozumel, Mexico. And I'm walking around Cozumel, Mexico. It's about 184 degrees there. I'm a little delirious as I'm walking around this place. And I happened to be wearing this t-shirt that was bright red, drew a lot of attention to myself, and it said real big on it, God has a plan. And as I'm walking with that t-shirt through the streets of Cozumel, Mexico, I all of a sudden feel someone's hands upon my shoulder, and I look up, and if you ever saw the movie Napoleon Dynamite, just imagine Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite, and he's got this look in his face that's just like, you know, wide-eyed, and he reads my shirt, and he says, God has a plan, and I said, okay? And he says, for you to drink tequila, and then he pulls me directly into his tequila shop and begins to proceed to try and sell me a wide variety of tequila. Now that story, outlandish, hilarious, does nothing for setting up the sermon for today, because it has no point. Now, I've tried to weave a point in there, and usually the point, the punchline, the takeaway of that particular story is, friends, I don't know who needs to hear this today, but God's plan for your life involves more than tequila, okay? So that's the only real good takeaway we can take from that. Otherwise, it's just a story that you tell to build a relationship with the congregation and to engage people's emotions and get them laughing and get them ready to hear what we're going to talk about today. But Jesus had this incredible way of when he told stories, they went somewhere. And they didn't just entertain. They were stories not just to connect. They were stories to direct and to guide people's lives. I think of the teachers I've had, and I had so many great teachers. And the ones that really got their point across were the ones who could put it on the personal level, but then usher you in into a deeper meaning, into a deeper sense of where your life ought to be headed. And so as we look at this teaching today, as we think about the teaching ministry of Jesus, we're really asking a question, and it's how can the teaching of Jesus take root in our lives? How can we take these words that are within these scriptures, and how can they take root in our lives? How can we put them into practice within our lives? And here is why this matters. Because we are going to face so many of the difficulties that Jesus describes in scripture. We are going to face so many of the temptations and the struggles that the writers of scripture talked about. And we're going to face them every single day. You may have even faced some of these this morning. You may face them this week. You may have faced them your entire life. And when we encounter those struggles, when we encounter the temptations, we need to have God's word deeply rooted within us. And we need the teaching of Jesus to be formative and foundational within our lives so that we know how to navigate those times. So we pick up in this story that Matt read for us just a few moments ago, and I'm just going to read one verse that kind of sets up before Jesus goes into the parable, because it establishes how Jesus is going to go about teaching in this circumstance and in many of the circumstances in which he taught to people. Chapter 4, verse 2 says these words, "He taught them many things by parables." And in his teaching said, and then we'll get to what he said in a few moments. He taught them many things by parables. In other words, the way that Jesus went about his teaching is he would tell stories about farmers sowing seed amongst the land. He would talk about a woman who was searching for a coin, you know, a household type story. He would talk about family relationships where you have a man who has two sons and one of them runs off and squanders his part of the family inheritance. These were all things that were relevant to people's lives. When he spoke in this way, he was not talking about a far-off land. He was not talking about some far-off mystery. He was putting it in the language of their everyday life and everything that they would have seen and known about. It wouldn't be that weird for them in an agrarian society to think about a farmer going out and sowing seeds. So the first thing we see about Jesus' teaching, and this is important for us, is that Jesus' teaching, he taught with relevance. Jesus teaches with relevance. And when we approach Scripture, that's one of the things that we're asking. How does this apply to our lives? One of the things that we deal with on a regular basis here is the sirens going by when Anthony goes to talk. And so that's something relevant that we all can relate to because it happens all the time. When I first got here, it was actually really crazy. Every time I opened my mouth to try and film one of our online videos for the COVID services, that would happen. It was just like uncanny. It was like you could predict when the ambulances were going to go by based on when I was going to try and talk out loud. And so anyways, side note. But Jesus teaches with relevance, and he teaches with this incredible way of putting it into ordinary terms and into ordinary language. And the reason that's important is because we need to approach Jesus and understand Jesus not as some distant character that we can't relate to. We can see that the way that he approached the people that he interacted with was completely from the point of relevance. He wanted to make sure that they understood things in terms that were important to them and in terms that they could relate to in everyday life. And it helps set the stage for how he's going to take some simple ideas, some simple stories, and take them into a deeper level. So Jesus teaches with relevance. Now, here is part of the way that Jesus teaches with relevance. In verse 10 and 11, we are told these words. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those outside, everything is said in parables." Now, what does that mean? What is Jesus trying to get across here by saying that the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, meaning his disciples, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables? Why wouldn't Jesus just say things straightforward to those on the outside? Why is he only revealing the secrets to those who are on the inside that are a part of his group of disciples? Here I think is the reason why. When Jesus taught, he taught with mystery. He teaches with mystery because he wants to invite us to keep going. He wants to invite us to keep going deeper. When Jesus would teach in a parable, these were not like Aesop's fables. These were not just, okay, we've got this story about a tortoise and a hare, and at the end of it, there's a moral that we apply to it. No, the way that Jesus taught is it keeps you thinking. I remember I took a class when I was in seminary that was specifically on the idea of preaching parables. And in that class, one of the questions we would ask ourselves whenever we read a parable is, what is bizarre in this story? I love that question. What is bizarre? When you read this parable, what do you find that is bizarre about it? To me, the thing that's bizarre in this particular parable that we're going to read through again in just a minute, the thing that's bizarre to me is the fact that the farmer's just out there scattering. Like, I mean, does he not take the time to look at the soil? Does he not take the time to figure out which part is rocky, which part is fertile? I mean, why is he just out there scattering things? As somebody who teaches on a regular basis and hopes that people will take hold of what they're teaching, I can say I can relate to being scattered. I mean, I can relate to that. And sometimes you just go and you preach and you teach and you're just scattering seed out there hoping that God can make it grow. And Jesus would do this. He would say these things. He would give these examples. He would tell these stories. And they weren't just moralistic fables with a point at the end. They were like a riddle that would invite you to go deeper and invite you to keep thinking about what it was that he was teaching. We see in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings." And this was written by a king, Solomon, and he is writing it from the perspective of saying, it's God's glory to be full of mystery. But the glory that we seek out as people who long to know God and long to understand God is to search it out, to keep going, to keep digging, to keep unveiling what is there, and to dive deeper and deeper into it. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. And we want to live into those mysteries that Jesus describes. We see later on in the chapter, he has some other parables that he tells. There's one about a growing seed, and he says that the kingdom of God is like a man scattering seed on the ground. Here he goes, scattering seed again. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel of the head. In other words, it's inviting us to reflect on this mystery. It's inviting us to think about this idea of how we don't even understand the process of how the different parts of a plant emerge from a simple seed that has been scattered on the ground. And if the kingdom of God is like that, if God's kingdom that we are called to seek out and to understand is like that, then it's not something we can easily explain, but it's something we just keep searching, keep digging into, keep desiring until God reveals more and more about his kingdom and about his purpose within us. I love the stories about Dennis Kinlaw, who was a former president of Asbury Seminary, how he was just so meticulous, and later in his life, you may have heard me share about this guy before, he would just be so intent on seeking the scriptures that when people would go to see him when he was in his 90s, he would be sitting there, and they would strike up a conversation, how are you doing, how are things going, what's going on lately in your life, and then just all of a sudden, he would just kind of lean over, and he was like, Have you read, you know, Psalm 94 lately? And the people are like, maybe, I don't know. And he's like, let me share with you what God has revealed to me. And then he would just open up his Bible and he would start talking into what God was showing him as someone who had walked with Jesus for over 90 years at that point. But still, God was revealing more and more and more to him. Despite being a world-class Bible scholar, despite being a seminary president, he knew there was still more to dig into. And it's in that searching, it's in that seeking that mystery that we grow closer to God and we understand that God's ways are higher than our ways, that his ways are deeper, and that's, you know, we were singing earlier about the waymaker, and even when I don't see it, you're working. And we don't always see what God is doing because it's a mystery. But we are invited to keep following the waymaker. We are invited to keep following and leaning into his teaching to keep seeing what he can reveal through the scriptures and what he can reveal within us and in our experience within the world. So here, you know, Jesus teaches in mystery, but here is how this particular mystery unfolds. Let's go back through this story because it's a great story that explains how things take root in our lives and how the word of God can take hold of us. Verse 3 begins, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up." So right here we have the very first, the setting of the stage. The farmer has gone out to sow his seed, and as he's scattering, some falls along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. So what's happened with this seed? This seed has been scattered in a part where it's not designed to take root, meaning it has fallen along the path, the worn path where people are walking, and the ground is not capable of absorbing the seed. And while it's there on the hard ground that's been compacted from people walking through and animals walking through, the birds just come and eat it up. It is here for a brief moment, and then it just goes out and about. You may have read a scripture before, and thought to yourself, that just went in my eyeballs and out my ears. I read it. I didn't get it. You may have come to church sometimes and walked out and said, I have no idea what that man was talking about today. And that's okay. That's understandable. Sometimes we have those moments where it's like seed being scattered along the path, where it does not have anything it can absorb into, and it does not take root. And so we want to avoid that type of ground. The next description that's given, there are four different types of soil described. The second one is in verse 5, it begins, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. We can think in this particular example of those moments where it's there. Maybe you're, you know, a brand new Christian and you're excited about what you're learning, but you don't have the depth yet. And so the soil is shallow. I mean, it's got the potential for growth, but it's shallow. And because it's shallow, it doesn't have enough depth there to really truly take root so that it can withstand the coming of the sun and the changes of the environment. And so it shoots up quickly. It's excited. I have seen this over and over and over again. You have somebody who shows up at your church, and they are just eager beavers. They are there on the front row. They are diving in deep. And then after a few weeks, it just fizzles out. And this is a reality that sometimes we can get so excited and so driven by the emotion of the moment, so amped up about a particular moment in time, but we don't have the depth and we don't let it fully take root in us. And that's why there's a consistency needed. There's an ongoing discipleship needed, that it's not just something that's here today and gone tomorrow, because it sprung up quickly, but then withered away. The third type of soil described in verse 7 says, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. I don't know about you, but I have definitely been in this particular struggle. Jesus would describe this when he explains the parable later in Mark chapter 4. He would explain this as the worries of life. The worries of life choking out the life of the plant that had taken root. Some seed falls among the thorns, but like the worries and the struggles and the temptations in life, they get sucked out and banged together and eventually suffocated to the point that it cannot grow. We've been moving through this study on Wednesday nights, which is another way you can go deeper in your faith with others. And we've been doing this Bible study, and we're looking at the wisdom literature. And this past week, we were looking at the part of the wisdom literature in Proverbs where it's describing the different paths that we can follow. We can follow the voice of wisdom, which leads to life, or we can follow the voice that might lead us astray, that leads us into temptation. And you read it, this is one of the things we were talking about Wednesday, when you read it, you look at it and you go, gosh, this is so blatantly obvious. Just choose the wise path. Why would anybody want to go the wrong path? But then when you read deeper into how temptation works, into how the worries of life, how the struggles of life work, you can see how it's easy to hop on the slippery slope. And we get consumed with things. Maybe we've gotten busier because we've stretched ourselves too thin. Maybe we're at a point where we are dealing with something on a personal level, whether within our family, our finances, or uncertainty about a next step. And all of a sudden, it's like we know that we're supposed to trust Jesus. We know that Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, for today has enough troubles of its own. We do know that Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto us. But right now, my bank account is stressing me out. Right now, this thing that we're dealing with this family member who we just cannot get the breakthrough that we're looking for, and we are longing for that waymaker. We're longing for that moment of, even when I can't see it, I know you're working, to be made into fruition. And in the midst of that, we are struggling and we are dying inside. And even though we know the teaching of Jesus, even though we know he said in this world, you will have great trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In those moments, it's hard for us to hear. It's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to perceive. And it's hard for that word to truly take root within our lives so that we live according to the fruitfulness that he would call us to live into. I know everybody in here knows what that feels like. It's a reality of life. But here's the fourth type of soil. And this is, you know, much like the wisdom literature, it's pretty clear you want to follow the path of wisdom. It's pretty clear which one we want to follow and live into in our lives. Verse 8 said, "Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." What type of soil do we want to be? We want to be the good soil. Verse 20 gives the explanation for that. It says, "Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." It's within this verse that we see this whole story that Jesus has been telling was not just about building relevance with his audience. It was not just about inviting them into a mystery. Jesus teaches with a purpose. Jesus teaches with a purpose, and his purpose is that the Word of God would take root in our lives. That despite the worries, despite the struggles that we face in life, despite the fact that we are emotionally driven and sometimes easily swayed and are distracted and pulled away, despite the fact that sometimes we're shallow and don't take root and don't have what it takes to absorb things, Jesus invites us into a lifestyle of letting his Word be deeply rooted and planted within us. This is the invitation of this passage. This is the purpose that he is trying to get across. And this is why Jesus' teaching is so important. It's not just something that's relevant. It's not just something that's mysterious. It actually has a purpose to it, and it actually has a lasting purpose to it. Last week, I mentioned that we were out of town and missed Matt's great message on how Jesus invites us to respond and how we are to see the authority and the who Jesus truly is for all that Jesus truly is. And so we were out of town. We were up in Massachusetts, spending the weekend there, a long weekend, kind of celebrating our birthdays and anniversary and Labor Day all in one. And one day, we were out at brunch at this place in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and we're sitting next to a couple that we had struck a conversation up with at the doorway, and we ended up getting seated next to each other, so we all kind of order our food, and then we, you know, eat, and then we kind of continue the conversation we had had earlier. And during the course of the conversation, we start talking about travel, and we get on the subject of Italy, where Emma had done a clinical rotation, and she had a great time there, and I had gone and visited her, and we're just having this great conversation about different parts of Italy, and we had this moment of connection in which we realize that both of us, both Emma and I and this couple, love Florence, love Tuscany. Like, that's the part of Italy we really enjoyed the most. And so we're talking about that. And then we get on to other subjects. We talk about how we like to travel, but it's hard because we have kids and we have to find somebody to watch the kids. And then they get onto this conversation about how they don't have kids, but they have fur babies. And they start talking about their dogs. And then we start talking about our dog. And meanwhile, I have pulled up a picture that we have of a painting in our living room that a friend of ours painted of Florence. And I am so excited to share this picture with this couple because it's this awesome painting. It was this incredible gift that we were given. I mean, it just absolutely one of a kind, so unique. And so we finished the conversation about the dogs and everything, and I go to show them this picture that was relevant 5 minutes ago, and I hold up the picture, and the wife just kind of is like, oh, wow, okay, yeah. And then the husband kind of engages in conversation, you know, what a wonderful thing for someone to do for you to paint this beautiful picture of Florence. And he was very kind and calm, and he says, "I just want you to know, I know that look on my wife's face. She thought you were about to show a picture of your dog." And you can imagine if you are expecting someone to hold up a picture of a one-year-old golden doodle and you are shown a painting of the Arno River in Florence, you'd be a little confused. And here's what I realized in that moment. When we try to be relevant, sometimes we're 5 minutes late. My worship professor said when I was in seminary that the church is the cultural caboose. We're always on the cutting edge of 30 years ago. But here's what we do have. Here's what we do have that goes beyond relevance and goes beyond anything else that we can put into practice in our lives. We have words that are everlasting. We have words that will never fail. We have words that are relevant both then and now. And Jesus invites us to be the kind of soil that it would take root in our lives and it would transform our lives, whether Anthony's jokes on Sunday mornings or his stories are relevant to you or not. When we come to the Word of God, we are not attempting to make something just simply relevant. We are presenting it and engaging with it because it has the power to change our lives. In James chapter 1, James, writing to a group of early Christians, he describes it this way. He says that he's talking about the word deeply planted within you, and he says in verse 22 through 25, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Everyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." So what does it look like to put God's word into the deep rootedness of our lives? It means putting it into practice. It means when God calls us to a way of life, we don't just hear it and think, oh, isn't that a nice teaching? Isn't that just something that's worth exploring and maybe putting on our refrigerator? What Jesus invites us to, what James instructs us in, is that it would take root in our lives and we would put it into practice. The purpose of Jesus' teaching is that our lives would be different than those who are struggling with the thorns of life overtaking them. That our lives would be different than those who are here today and gone tomorrow. His invitation to us is that we would stay faithful, that we would go deeper, and that we would grow into the purpose of what his word is all about. Jesus teaches with relevance. He invites us into a mystery, but there is a purpose behind it. And that purpose is that you would be rich soil, ready to receive what God's word can do within you, and then to go and take it out to all the world. Excuse me. And here's the key takeaway. I'm going to try to get through this without losing my voice. Here's the key takeaway. Soil can't choose its type, but people can. A friend of mine, Kevin Klotfelter, came up with that, and I'll give him all the credit for that. Soil is going to be whatever soil is going to be, but you have the choice to say whether I'm going to let the worries of life, the fleeting emotion of the moment, take me and guide me, or if you're going to be steady and ready to receive so that God can birth something within you that produces fruit to change your life and the world. And so we want to be people who not only hear the teaching of Jesus, but we put it into practice in our lives and see God make all the difference through that.